welcome back to a new episode. We are so happy to have you back soon. And if you're a new listener, very welcome to you as well. There are so many episodes that you can go listen to. So just have a scroll and you can have a look at all of the topics that we've covered thus far. In the last episode, we spoke to Jackie and to Brooke, two of our listeners, about their experiences, about their injuries and how they're doing today. They also shared some lessons with us that we are going to include in today's episode, as well as some of the lessons that some of the listeners shared on Instagram. So we'll first play Brooke and Jackie's lessons, and then we'll go over to the comments on Instagram.
You've been now through this for like 6.5 years, and I think you've learned so many lessons throughout this time. I just wonder if you want to share with us some of the biggest things that you think, I'm sure that in the 6 years, these are the main things that I learned and I want to share with others that maybe are at the beginning of this journey.
That's a good question.
I think in 6 years, I've learned that hard work is a lot of work. And it's harder than I ever, it was harder and more effort than I ever anticipated. And it was so much time and planning and a lot of sacrifices. Because when you're 25, 26, 27, you should be going out with your friends and doing dinners and trips. And I had to sacrifice that because after a day of work, I had to go to cognitive therapy. And I had to sacrifice a lot. And I always tried to think about it like, okay, I have to make these like short-term sacrifices for longer-term gains. And if I didn't do that, then I might not get better or I might still have X, Y, and Z. So I had to tweak things, and it probably upset people, and it probably, you know, made people angry with me, or maybe made people upset with me when I had to cancel because I had a headache, or I couldn't attend something because I had a headache, or I couldn't attend something because I had therapy or something along the point. But you know what, it's like the people that stuck with me are the people that stuck with me and had to understand, like, in that time, that's what I had to do for myself. And it was a very almost selfish point where I had to be like, no, this is what I have to do for me to get better. And I can't let anybody else's judgments or parties or problems or birthdays get in my way of what I need to do in order to accomplish my goal, which was to feel better. It wasn't even, you know, for a fine, like, you know, when people set goals, they think of it to lose weight or have better finances. And mine was just to live a lifestyle where I don't have a headache every day.
Exactly. And I think when I was listening now, you were also mentioning that you wanted to be a little bit more focused on you getting better. And that's something that I do see with myself as well, and learning to say no to others when, you know, requests and stuff come in.
Yeah.
That you just first check in with yourself. Can I do this? Do I have energy? Do I have just mental cognitive capacity left for this?
And I still do it to this day. And it's, and just like in little things, like, so, and it's kind of funny that, so my boyfriend and I, we live together, and I'm at like 9 o'clock, like, I'm like, all right, I'm going to bed. He's like, you don't want to stay up and watch this show with me? And I'm like, nope. And he's like, okay. Like, he's so accepting of the fact that I'm like, I got to go to bed. I'm tired. No, I'm not going to stay up and watch the show. Yeah. Like, this is what I need to do for myself in order to be able to get up in the morning. It's just like those little things that it's funny too, but I'm like, I want to go to sleep.
I hear you, girl. I get you completely.
Like, I don't care if you want to call me an old lady that I'm going to bed at night.
Yeah, but that's so true. I mean, what, like, from what you've now said, it's like you have to prioritize your therapy and do the things that will help you, not just in the short run, but that will help you out in the long run. And even if others don't understand it, you have to respect that for yourself, because that's the best way you can help yourself, right?
It's the only way.
Amazing to hear that the stories of others are so similar in a way to ours, but in another way so different.
It's like the journey is almost the same. Yeah, but
and I was telling Beate just before you joined that everyone I meet that has a brain injury, the story in a way starts the same, in the sense that everyone says, I had this injury or accident or whatever, and then I just wanted to go back to work, or I just wanted to continue, go back to school. Everybody's like, and we did the same. And we were thinking, why is that happening? Why aren't people saying, hey, I got this thing that happened to me. I need to do my therapy, start with things slowly. Everybody just wants to go back immediately. It's such a, I haven't found an answer to it, but it's a strange thing that I noticed, like a pattern to everyone.
I, from working in healthcare, it's almost that, you know, if you don't need to be hospitalized or get surgery, it's almost kind of like poo-pooed, like, oh, you were able to just go to the ER and then leave in a couple hours. You're okay. It's not like you had to be admitted or have some sort of procedure. And that's why a traumatic brain injury, when they call it the invisible injury, it just makes it so true. Because just because you don't need brain surgery doesn't mean your brain isn't hurt.
It's strange because, I mean, Alexandra actually had brain surgery, and then on the other hand, I was in the hospital for a week, and still I kind of I wanted to go back work so badly. And I'm trying to still answer the question, like, why did I try and be so quick about it? And then even afterwards, when I was probably, I don't know, say 5 months after the accident, I was at work, and a few people at that point in the office had like procedures done where they had, you know, some operation in their leg or like something with their stomach or whatever it was. And they were booked off for more time than what I was booked off. And they didn't even feel guilty at all. They were completely taking the time off to recover. And I'm not saying a physical injury is not that bad, but for some of the people I know, like the one guy, he was just telling me like, oh, he was lying in bed watching series all day long. He had to rest his leg after the operation. And I'm thinking, I had so many things going on literally inside of my head, you know, like
physically. Can't turn off the brain.
Yes. And why couldn't I just be like this guy? Maybe not watching TV, because I wouldn't have been able to do that for so long, but, you know, just taking it slow and resting and, you know, telling people like, sorry guys, like I'm not ready. And then telling my doctors like, listen, you have to book me off for longer. I mean, I didn't do that. And I'm like, Beate, you stupid girl. You should have like rested more. It's very strange.
It is strange, because when you're seen as a fully functioning adult, like I can sit, obviously we're all hot. Three of us are, you know, quote unquote, high functioning adults. So when someone looks at us, they're like, oh, she's quote unquote normal. And you're like,
yeah, I wish.
What are you talking about, normal? And versus somebody that, you know, did have leg surgery, and you're like, oh, they have a cast, and
they cannot walk, and they cannot run a marathon.
They have they can't walk. Yeah. And it's just,
it's huge.
The stigma is just unfair.
Yeah, well, that is something that we actually want to try and change with this podcast as well, just to bring more awareness to everyone. And we hope that those who listen to these stories will obviously the ones that have brain injury feel that they are listened to, but the ones that don't have, that they feel and understand it better after they listen to what actually happens.
Yeah, maybe they have a couple of questions, you know, and through the conversations, hopefully it gets answered. Because I know, and I feel lucky that I had Alexandra to kind of normalize the way I was feeling, because I probably would have thought that I'm going crazy, because I could still look in the mirror and also see myself and also not see my, you know, disability. But she helped me so much in the whole process of realizing that, you know, life has changed, and like, I'm not completely alone, and she's there. And through the podcast, we really hope that people can even listen to your story and be like, oh my gosh, yes, I was in a car accident, like something similar happened to me, you know, and feel like, you know, okay, yes, this is a thing. Although I can't see it and my friends can't see it and my family can't see it, they can maybe, you know, get the therapy that's necessary and actually get better. Do you have any questions for us or anything else you want to like tell us that we haven't asked, like questions that you feel like should have been asked?
No, I think everything was more or less covered that I anticipated, but I'm just so glad like you guys are starting this podcast and trying to spread awareness, because I think that's such a huge part of everything. Like huge part of recovery is, once you're almost done, yeah, your recovery, yeah, is spreading awareness. So I think getting the message out there, it just helps people who are, yeah, just beginning.
Exactly. And this long journey, yes, is sometimes lifelong. Very true. There's a lot of support needed. I agree.
Yeah.
Interesting news. I am actually moving to the state. So whenever I am close by, I might let you know and we can have a cup of coffee or something.
Yes, if you're ever in the New Jersey, New York area, let me know.
Will do.
Thank you so much again, Jackie, and I'll continue to stalk you on Instagram, as we say.
And you said just now that this was one of the biggest lessons that you learned, like basically being positive and things like that. And I guess in your 13 years that passed, you probably learned a lot of things. We still have to learn a lot, but I just wanted to ask you, what do you think are the biggest lessons that you've had so far in these 13 years?
I suppose one thing is like, it doesn't go away. It's like a permanent thing. So you go through a period of trying to get over it.
Yeah,
you know, suppose at first you go through a period of denial, yes, mm-hmm, and then you try to you know, look for a quick fix and think you can beat it, but eventually you kind of accept it, don't you, and you realize that it's something that you're going to have to live with. And I think one something I've learned is to prepare for things, because like I said before, that I'm not very fast at thinking. I kind of, you know, if you can catch me unawares, I'm not very fast. But if I prepare for something like the speech, like I couldn't go and stand up and give a talk.
Mm-hmm.
But if you prepare it, then it goes all right, and you come across as quite knowledgeable.
Yeah.
But if it's just, yeah, just trying to pick things out of my head, and think things out of the air. Yeah, I think that's definitely you learn to. You can be very polite, can't you? And you just, as well as trying to be normal, I think it's being polite as well. You don't want to, you know, you don't want to appear rude or anything. But then it comes to the point where, especially if you've had fatigue like I had, then you just, you know, if you need to go and rest, then you have to rest. Otherwise, you will suffer for it later.
Yeah, exactly. And then others that are close to us, exactly, and have been close to us for 2-3 years now, and didn't see it in the beginning, are now a bit shocked about, oh, how come all of a sudden or whatever you have to go sleep or cannot be here anymore. Yeah. So,
but people, yeah,
continue.
You know, that I suppose the closest people to you, like my parents and my family, they're the ones that understand. But you have these things that are so weird that, like that, having to go to sleep in the middle of the night.
Yes. Yes. No, it's, I think I, the one thing that Alexandra and I feel like we've been working on separately, but also probably together in a way, is just being honest, you know, friendly in honesty, almost like just being frank about the things that you need or the things that you can do and can't do, you know, without, like you said, without being, you know, completely negative or complaining about it, but just being, looking out for yourself, because at the end of the day, it is something quite difficult to explain. And probably, I don't think if we will ever be able to explain it perfectly. So we just kind of have to make provisions.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of not being able to explain it properly, there's things like, you know, you try and explain fatigue to people and people say, you know, they get tired. And then you try and explain having a bad memory and they say, oh, my memory's bad. And you don't know whether it's them just trying to, whether it's just trying to, you know, sympathize with you or whether they're just, they're trying to, downplay, downplay having a brain injury. And I think what happens in a brain, well, my particular brain injury, is nothing really that hasn't happened to anybody else. Like, you know, forgetting stuff. And for instance, like going upstairs and wondering what he went up there for. Mm-hmm. You know, that happens to everybody. It's just when it happens, like, 20 times a day, and that means you've got a brain injury. It's just people can relate to a lot of it.
They I get it a lot too, and I always try to say, like, and think, well, you people also get it, but not in the same way. Like, I feel like the memory issues we have are so different than the memory issues of just like normal people, and fatigue the same way. Like, I was tired one time with some friends, and I told them, like, I'm really tired now, you know. And they said, okay, then it's fine. Let's just watch a movie if you're tired.
Yeah, exactly. So, but they don't realize how tiring thinking is.
Yeah, it? Yeah. So then I understood then that, you know, for normal people, being tired and watching a movie is fine. But for us, being tired means just shutting everything, not hearing any more noise.
Yeah.
Yeah,
because you'll have to concentrate on the plot of the movie, won't you?
Yeah,
and that in itself is tiring.
Exactly. So the it goes further than the normal way of being tired, of the normal way of concentration issues and stuff. Yeah, it's a hard.
It's like, you know, I use an analogy. It's like if you can't, it's like trying to, I don't know what you say, petrol or gas, but it's like trying to drive a car with no petrol in it, no gas in it.
Mm-hmm.
If you've got no energy, then you can't do anything. It's not a case of, you know, just come on and you know, pick yourself up, or, you know, watch a movie and
it gets better. No, exactly.
I think for myself and Alexandra, it was kind of a blessing in disguise that we were already friends and that we had someone who kind of understood what we were going through. You know, although we still have some unique things around our injuries, but do you have any like friends or, you know, friends prior to this or friends after that you've made that kind of struggle relate with the same things that you feel like, you know, you can relate to a lot of better?
There's a lot of different things that are general for brain injury, like, you know, fatigue's one, memory's one. I think, well, there's that thing, isn't there? There's a saying, if you've seen one brain injury, that means you've seen one brain injury.
Because
every brain's different. Every person will be affected differently. I've got a friend called Ben Shevlin, who lives near me. And, he seems to have more physical problems than me. Like, he walks with a limp and stuff like that. And, But then again, he doesn't have the fatigue that I have. So it's just, he doesn't suffer with that. But I mean, I've had, like, sort of bizarrely, I've had the same bunch of friends since I was at high school, back in Scarborough, my hometown. And I keep in touch with them. And
But that's great that you're still friends with them, right? That's amazing. That also shows character from your friends aside, to show, you know, they were really a true friend to you as a person. And even though, you know, some of your abilities changed and, you know, they have to maybe make a few accommodations. Yeah, but the fact that they're still your friends is amazing. That's really special.
You know, it's quite unique that we've all been mates from school. And, you know, that was like when we're from, I don't know, 12 to 16. And now we're 38. So, yeah, it's quite a nice thing, I suppose.
It's quite unique, I must say. After my injury, I kind of lost like all That's my amazing. Childhood friends, like a year after, kind of on the not exactly a year after, but on a way to 1 year. So, in that time, when I lost everyone, I thought, wow, why is this happening? And then I was active on all these brain injury groups on Facebook, and there I realized that actually there's a lot of people who do lose their friends, and very few that actually keep them. So you are one of the lucky ones.
Yeah, right? I guess so. I mean, it was trying. Like, I mean, one thing I speak about in the road safety talks that I do is, like, you know, if you have a serious injury, how your life changes. And like my friends, you know, they all went on holiday, and I remember having to look at the holiday photos come up on Facebook and stuff like that, and they're all on the beach on I think it's on Phi Phi Island in Thailand.
Oh yeah,
and they're all there with their arms on each other, and there's all everyone except for me, and it's kind of a moment for me that I. You know, I was really quite upset about that. But I mean, they're still my friends. I mean, it's not.
Did you, in the 13 years, did you go with them at some point on some holiday?
I went. I actually went on a stag do to Benidorm.
Uh-huh.
And that was, I made sure I had my own room and stuff.
Okay. And so you made sure you had some limits, places.
Yeah, I didn't stay out too late. And, I went. You know, I went in at 10 o'clock. They all came in at maybe 3 or 4 in the morning. But I was the only one that got a good night's sleep. I went to Amsterdam on the stag do last year. I've been to Thailand with some friends, but you know, people around me. You know, I've always been. You know, I would like to go traveling again, but I'm so forgetful that I don't know. I don't know what happened to me. So,
yeah, I tried it as well too, and it's different. Like if I go with my husband, it's very easy because I know that he's there, and
you can rely on him. Yeah,
I can rely on him. But with friends, I only went once, and I could see the huge difference. Like I had to be on my own, kind of, although with a friend, and the responsibility for me was. I felt like I just had even less capacity to concentrate or energy.
Yeah, because there's so much going on, isn't it? You don't want, and then you sort of worried. I don't know if your friends are like my friends, but they all start drinking quite early, so you're kind of quite worried about that. And they're going on a holiday to have a good time, and you don't want to, you know, you don't want to ruin the good time, do you? So there's that as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh wow.
Interesting talking to you. Do you run every day?
I'll show you. I see a personal trainer once a week. A girl called Maddie, who's really good, and she's a good person to, you know, you're talking about being honest. I thought Maddie then was I just say, if I do anything, like if I do anything, you know, sometimes I like have a, you know, a silly twitch or something like that, or I'll have a nervous cough or a nervous laugh. And I just say, if I do anything like that, will you tell me about it? So, and she does. And whereas others, like particularly my family, won't say anything about that. So, you know, in terms of trying to protect me. So they don't want to hurt my feelings. So, but Maddie just tells me, so that's great. I'm also friends with the local running group. Local running group around where I live, and we're going out for a meal tonight. Actually, so it's just I mean, I live on my own, so it's just try to be as sociable wherever I can.
Thank you again, Brooke, for joining us today, and hopefully we can have you on another episode sometime.
Brilliant! It's the most international podcast ever, isn't it? Awesome.
Thank you so much to Jackie and Brooke for sharing with us their story and also for sharing with us all the lessons that they've learned throughout this, what I would call, lifelong journey. We will continue now with the stories you've shared on our Instagram, on the post where we have asked what were some of the lessons that were the most important in your life that were brought by this brain injury. So I find that a lot of people, like I read all the comments and a lot of people said something that Richard Donnelly also said, that it was hard to say no to people before, but since the brain injury with the neurofatigue and all the issues are forcing him to say no and be more in control of his life. And I think that's so applicable for a lot of people.
Yes. Right? No, it absolutely is. And it's sometimes, I think it's probably difficult for the families as well. But for myself, I have so much internal conflict sometimes because I, again, when we've spoken about it, sometimes you, I almost want to say, as a person, want to do certain things or you want to attain certain things, but it's as if your body doesn't allow you. And true. Kind of, again, like he says, it forces you to say no. The fatigue says no. Which is, that is a good life lesson. And I think we should all be more comfortable at saying no. And then also saying yes. But if you say yes, say, yes, I'll be there. I don't know how long I will be able to be there, you know, and I will leave when I have to. But, you know, kind of still live your life to the fullest and make other people around you aware that, you know, things might change in an hour or in half an hour or whatever it is, you know.
Exactly.
So that you can still attain, but later on say, like, thank you so much for a lovely evening. I have to leave now.
Yeah, I found that a lot of times that's happened, and it's so important indeed to try to manage expectations in a way. Although, you know, I think in this case with a brain injury, you never know when it's going to be the moment of too much or too, it can be coming too quick. Sometimes it lets you enjoy things for longer. That's not always. And also I see here a comment from Stephanie that says, nothing is more important than my health, including my mental health. I had to make choices based on these new priorities over the past 12 months, choosing less stress, choosing to live alone versus flatting, choosing to live closer to work, to minimize commute and fatigue, choosing to say no, again, like we just said, to put myself first, prioritizing me over others, choosing to let go of people who bring me down and are unsupportive, choosing brain injury support group versus staying isolated and choosing life when my mind thought the only choice was to end it. So it is so hard also because it can get you to a depressive state when you see that all the things that you have to now like decline or choose. When you're obviously used to living a full life and all of a sudden.
Yeah. And the one thing that and she didn't say this, but I'm kind of wondering, and I definitely see it in my own life, is if I sometimes say no, it is also saying yes to something else, if you kind of get what I'm saying. True. So if you can prioritize your sleep and your energy and your things, it means that I am then sometimes able to do a certain event or a certain task or a certain day or whatever it is to the fullest. But if I didn't prioritize my sleep the day before, then I won't be able to do anything, right? So kind of doing that self-care and making sure that you know where your limits are and how much rest you need and so forth can offer you a life worth living and something that can, you know, you can still do exciting things. So I'm wondering if all of these changes that Stephanie made is also giving her some kind of a better lifestyle than what she would have had if she said yes to everything and kind of allowed life to just happen to her, right?
Yeah, I think so too. And I think, you know, every action has a reaction and a consequence. So indeed, when you
choose to do something today that maybe takes away from like your sleep or your rest period, then tomorrow that consequence is going to show.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly that.
And if you have something planned for tomorrow, then it's less likely that, you know, you will be able to do it if you've not had like enough rest and sleep. That's there's one saying, this is another lesson, how little I knew about being in tune with my mind and body previously.
Oh,
this is so brilliant. Good.
That is so true. I mean, I feel like I kind of zoomed in on every level of my physical and emotional, psychological being. Yes, I am very much more aware of my being, right?
Yeah, exactly. I feel like if I compare myself with how I was before and now, that there is not even a comparison. Before, I didn't even think about anything like this, like either to prioritize my sleep or to take a moment and meditate to calm myself down, or do some yoga to rest and things like this. Whereas now it's like completely the opposite. Those are like things that I mainly think about.
I hear what you're saying. Yes.
Exactly. We have here a comment from someone that says that your world can change in an instant. TBI ruined my marriage. When I read in her journal that my TBI recovery was drama, during life's struggles, you learn a lot about people. I now only surround myself with people that truly have my back. Needless to say, that is a very small circle.
Shame, that's very sad.
Yeah, and I've seen this kind of comments and discussions, you know, everywhere in the community of brain injury. Just the it gets to me so deeply, because I feel that I think everyone with a brain injury would think this, that it's enough for a person to go through that trauma of just having to deal with something so big like a brain injury, that they also have to later on go through, you know, having their marriage ruined, to having their maybe jobs ruined, their entire world is turned like upside down. And it's just, I think, not fair that it's happening as a side note to the actual trauma.
Oh, that is so, that's very, very sad. Shem, I'm very sorry to hear about that.
Yes. Well. And then we have some other comments from someone that says that nothing in life is certain. It took almost losing my life for me to slow down, look around and appreciate how good I have it and how important people are to me. Patience and persistence. Recovery cannot be rushed, and it requires a shitload of repetition and mental toughness to keep going.
Yeah, but that is actually true, that sometimes when you are at the point of almost losing everything, that's when you realize how much you've had. And I mean, she still says how good I have it. So I think she's also grateful for, you know, the day that she's having, you know, today, and still her life after brain injury, and really appreciating the things that you do have and making the best out of it. I really like that.
Yeah. And I think I can see a very, big like similarity with my life, in the sense that before the brain injury, I didn't really feel life. Like I knew that I was like living, but I felt like I'm not really living. I was just doing things that I was supposed to do when I was supposed to do them, and not really minding myself, but more thinking about how to do this and that for others. Whereas now I think more in terms of the moment now, and what is this going to bring me, or how is this going to change things? It's just appreciation of the small things in life. That's a very big change.
Yes. I mean, like she says it so brilliantly, slow down, look around and appreciate how good I have it. And sometimes it's really necessary just to do that. I can definitely be, or I think I'm definitely less of a
tense person today, but I used to get very anxious and all worked up if things, like, if I can call it, like, smaller things in life aren't perfect or are in order. And I am very neat still and very organized and everything, but I also just, you know, sometimes I'm like, okay, you know what, breathe, it's okay if everything is not perfectly packed out and ready when everybody arrives. It's not the end of the world, you know, kind of yes, again, slowing down and kind of just being appreciative of the people coming over, even if everything is not 100% packed out and neat and perfect and whatever.
That's true. Yeah. That's true. Yeah. And reading these comments make me think, made me think how many, there are so many things that are a lesson and so many things that are changed in our lives. I think everyone who's listening to this and had a brain injury can probably relate to, although some of the things are small, there's so many of them. There is a comment from Michelle that says, I know it sounds awful, but I really struggled to say sorry before my brain injury. I could be truly remorseful and desperate to make things right, and still those words were the hardest to say. Some say it's ego. I don't know what it was, but I learned life is too short to leave such important things unsaid.
Peace, living in peace with yourself and with others around you, saying sorry.
Exactly. Yeah. And saying, like, I can relate to this on the level of, now I feel that everything can end in like an instant, and you never know if the person next to you is still gonna be next to you in the next second. So I just make sure that every time that I'm going away or out somewhere, like to the shop or whatever, well, I don't really go to the shop, but
let's like to some place, therapy or something, that I say to my husband, like, I love you and speak to you soon. Whereas before, I didn't never think that, you know, going out on the street could maybe be like the last time we see each other. It's just appreciation of fragility of life, I see it. And also this not being able to say sorry, you never know, indeed, if this person you had a fight with or so, if this is the last words that you said to them, you never want to end it like that, in case it would be. So I think it's important that everyone ends on a note that they are comfortable with a person in case something would happen. I mean, sometimes I feel like there's also, you know, almost kind of a balance between not being afraid that, you know, almost pat, I think some people, and I know, especially for myself in the beginning, it's almost you're so afraid of every second something that might happen. And I feel like that is not what I want to promote in my own life, but rather being thankful and being honest and open and forgiving and grateful for the things that you have, because like you said, it could be your last moment, but not kind of worrying about exactly. Every second.
I just feel like I want to be at peace with myself.
That's a nice word.
That this is the last thing I would have said to this person in case of something, just like that. It gives me peace to know, hey, I said something nice. So it just makes me more at ease. I don't know how to explain it. It's just something in my head.
Yeah.
And then I see another comment here from another stroke survivor that says, just how much I used to take for granted. Don't worry about what other people think about you. Live in the moment.
Yes, that's true. That is so true. I feel like we can so easily hide away from who we are because we're afraid of judgment or embarrassment or whatever it is. And that is so true. I mean, you can't, you know, I like that. I really do.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's changed the way we, for a lot of people, it's changed the way how we view the world.
Yes.
So it's a nice thing to see that that can actually change, because somebody was telling me at some point, it's nice, not nice, but it's good that you can see this now, because some people are like
much older and they don't realize it, and you are in your 20s and you're realizing it now so much earlier.
Yes, I've heard that a lot as well. My therapist, probably all of them, have had a similar conversation with me, saying like, this is, you know, hopefully something that everybody learns in their life, but usually they are, you know, towards the end of their life when they realize certain things, or when they make peace with certain things. And I think a big life event, you know, not just brain injury, but like big life events do that to a person. It makes you more aware of yourself, your surroundings, the people around you, what really matters, what are the things that we value, what we should value. It's so true.
Yeah, that's the positive things about a brain injury, right? Because there's like a lot of negative, and maybe not a good word, but a lot of things that also people lose and that are side effects. Yeah, you have to
deal with.
Yeah, you have to deal with.
Every day.
Exactly, for like who knows how long. But then there's these small things that you also realize, and you're like, hey, maybe I could be more forgiving. Maybe I can be more grateful for what I have, more living in the moment and not stress and panic. Yeah. So these things I really appreciate, because I don't think that any other way I would have realized them. Like, I don't think I would have woke up and be like, oh, yeah. You know?
Yeah, that is so true. I mean, I've had so many thoughts about like, what would I have learned when? How would my life have been? Where would I have been? Like with who? Who'll be my friend? Who would have been my friends, you know, kind of thing. Yeah. So it's true. You have to live in the moment and be thankful. And these things definitely make you more aware of
the fragility of life.
Yes.
Yeah, true. Yes. And one last comment that says, believe in yourself no matter what. Trust the process. Staying positive.
Yes.
Yeah.
You have to trust in your,
You have to do it, and you have to, you cannot give up, I think. There was one quote that I saw it a long time ago, and I keep thinking about it, and it's like one of the quotes that I just feel like that's matching so much with life now. Mm-hmm. And it says, you'll never know how strong you are until being strong is the only option you have. Like, if somebody would have told me, like, I wouldn't have gone through this, and somebody would ask me, how would you deal with this? I would say I couldn't.
Like, that's very true. That's, I hear exactly what you are saying.
I would have just said, no, I wouldn't be able to. There's no way. And
yeah, but you know what? That message of hope, I feel, is so important. I spoke to my neuro-optometrist about a month or so ago, and just for a checkup. And she said, I said, oh my goodness, I can't believe it's almost 2.5 years later. If you told me how blind I still would be today, I would have been so mad and so upset. And you know what? Like, I'm operating and I'm okay. And I'm driving now, and I'm figuring things out, and I'm cooking and I'm using knives and things like that, which if people understand how blind I am, they probably think like, oh my goodness, she shouldn't be doing that. But I'm not afraid, and I've never made a mistake or caused an accident or anything. So the one thing she then told me, and she was like, you know what, Beata, that's very true. And that's the one thing that therapists, or at least that she does as a therapist, is you have to make sure that the patient still has hope. Like, whenever you see them, if they don't have hope, it's the end of the road of their rehabilitation journey. If they still have hope, there's so much that one can do and so many options that one can look at. And that's very true. The message of hope should stay like a little fire burning in your heart, you know. Otherwise, it's going to feel like the end, because it probably is the end. You have to keep the hope alive. Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, these were all the comments and the lessons that people have shared with us and which we very much can relate to, and including the ones of Brooke and Jackie. So we want to thank everyone again for listening up in this season and for all their input online and on Facebook and Instagram and the messages you've sent. We've really appreciated everyone.
Yes, thank you so much for listening. I hope you're all doing very well.
Yes, and keep on listening to the other episodes as well. Look back, yes, and there's plenty that that you probably will find that you haven't yet listened to. Absolutely. Thank you once again.
Bye.